Very pleased to have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on the line with us today. Brad's with us on Tuesdays every week at this time during the legislative sessions. And today we're going to take a little more detailed look at transportation funding in Washington State. It seems to be an annual discussion that occurs and is one of the topics that can create some of the most heated debates among different constituents in the House and Senate. So we'll look forward to finding out a little bit more information from Senator Hawkins this morning about that. And also we'll talk about a bill that passed out of committee and also a deadline that's coming up for bills to pass out of committees in the Senate as well. And Brad, I always appreciate the time. Thanks.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with this bill that has passed out. By the way, happy phase two. I guess we could start there.
Yeah,
this.
Let's celebrate that.
Yeah, we had a chance to kind of quickly go over this with your counterparts over in the House from the 12th District, Gaynor and Steele, last Friday, but we haven't really had a chance to talk to you about it just yet. So what do you make of phase two? I mean, it's great to be there, but are you feeling especially good about it, or is the mood, prevailing mood with you and your constituents the same, or are you kind of feeling a little reserved still, like we might get pushed back, or it's, you know, not near further down the end of the rainbow?
No, there's no pushing back. We're moving forward, and I think a lot of people are really excited about it. But, you know, even at phase two, it just seems like a huge victory and a huge opportunity for everybody in our economy. But the reality is that we only feel that way because we've been sort of cast out in our first phase for so long. So now phase two feels so wonderful. But hopefully, you know, with the vaccine rolling out and the continued efficiencies there and the continued supply and people's mitigation efforts, I think hopefully we can expand the opportunities for the next phase and continue our reopening, because that's really what our business community needs and really what everybody needs. I think everybody's really struggling these days with the extended pandemic. And so I'm excited to keep moving forward sooner rather than later. So hopefully we'll do well here in this phase two part.
Yeah. Well, with vaccinations here, I think it's a little different than the toggling we had when we were worried about phase one and phase two and all these phases, especially when there were county jurisdictional lines, which are a little bit more blurred, obviously, with these regions. It seems like there's a little bit more overlapping sense of what's going on within an entire portion of the state. There's still some lines that get blurred. Just ask Columbia County about that. But
sure.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be in phase two for certain. Brad, let's talk a little bit about a bill that's passed out of committee that you have had in the Senate just last evening. Actually, you were talking to me here a second ago. And then also about that critical deadline for bills to get out of committee in the Senate that's approaching.
Yeah, so last night the Senate Ways and Means Committee approved my Senate Bill 5158, which is related to electric utility, wildfire prevention, and it's something that Chelan PUD has been very involved in. Steve Wright has testified a couple times for this bill. Basically would help implement key recommendations from a task force. And I'm really excited that moved forward. We have four different PUDs in the 12th District, Chelan, Douglas, Grant, and Okanagan PUDs. And we have a history of unfortunate wildfires. So this bill is very important to our district, but also to the state. And fortunately, it survived this cutoff, but many of the bills are starting to die off now, which is actually a good thing. It's just part of the process. If bills don't make it out of their policy committees this week, they will not move forward in the process. And that helps the legislature sort of manage the workload as we start off with thousands of bills or whatever it is, and then there's a winnowing process as it moves forward. But fortunately, all of my bills, including this electric utility wildfire bill that's important to our district and our state, is moving forward.
Very good, Brad. So we'll get some more information from you about that. I know we've talked about it a little bit already. And as it moves further along, perhaps even to passage, we'll get a chance to get into some more details about it. What about that cutoff, again, as far as the committees are concerned? I know, as you mentioned, there's kind of a winnowing process that takes place. And it's got to be a little overwhelming for a lot of folks who haven't worked in the Senate or the House before to think of how this process works. Mm-hmm. You've got all these great ideas, some of them great, maybe some of them not so great. That's all subjective, right. I know. But, you know, you've got all these ideas at least out on the table. And unfortunately, you know, so many of them don't even get a chance to get a larger hearing. So, you know, this part of the process, are we pretty much, you know, are we really through it at this point? Have we cut through a lot of the fats, or is there still a little bit more of that to go?
Some of it, but you know, basically the whole legislative process is set up based on rigorous deadlines and due dates and harsh cutoff dates. So every stage in the process, and this was the first one, for bills to make it out their policy committee, they need to pass out this week or else they don't advance. Then the next step next week is for bills that have a fiscal impact in the budget. If they don't pass out of their fiscal committees, either capital budget, transportation budget, or the operating budget committees, they die off. And then there's another key due date in a few weeks for bills to pass out of their house of origin. So bills that originated in the state Senate need to get approved by the full Senate, and bills that originate in the House of Representatives need to get approved by the House, or they don't advance. So this is the first key cutoff in the process, and it does help manage the bills. You know, I get asked all the time about House bills, and I get asked about bills that are outside of the committees I serve on. And in those early weeks, it's really difficult just to fully understand and comprehend the bills that are in the committees that you serve on and that you're assigned to, let alone bills outside of your committees in the Senate, or even bills that I get asked about that are currently in the House of Representatives that I may never see because they may never make it out of the House into the Senate. So it's really an interesting process, and we all welcome the opportunity when things get narrowed down a little bit.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins talking to us this morning here on the Coho Morning Show. All right, Brad, let's do this little deep dive into transportation this morning, because this is, again, a portion of the work that goes on in the House and Senate every year that seems to, you know, draw some of the most attention and really in some ways the most criticism. So I know you wanted to sort of explain that process to our listeners today about how funding gets allocated through the transportation budget for particular things that are involved with just that transportation in the state.
Yeah, it's really kind of a complicated process. It wasn't something I really even learned until I served on the House Transportation Committee and began to understand the mechanics. But the state has three budgets and we budget on a two-year basis. We have the capital budget, the transportation budget, and the operating budget. But occasionally, I'd say every 8 years or so, maybe 5 to 10 years, there's a major transportation project package that kind of gets proposed in the process, and those have been proposed this year, and those are things people have heard about, and those are largely funded by a gas tax, an increase in the gas tax, as well as increases in other fees and sometimes other taxes. So basically there's a collection of revenue sources, and in the case of some of the ones that are proposed this year, there's a carbon fee element, there's a gas tax increase component, there's other weight fees and license fees, and then there is a corresponding list of projects or expenditures that match up with those revenues. And that's how the major projects in our state really get funded. The transportation budget every 2 years that is approved and will be approved this year funds the Washington State Department of Transportation. It funds the Department of Licensing. It actually funds the State Patrol. And it pushes out a certain number of pre-approved projects that were already authorized in a prior larger revenue package. And so the transportation budget itself every 2 years, that will get approved this year. I guess the question really is, will these larger gas tax proposals and carbon fee proposals and these other ideas, will those get approved this year, or will those push off to another year? But, you know, it's one of those things, Chris, where no one likes the revenue sources. No one wants to pay the taxes, But a lot of people do want a high-functioning transportation system in our state. We have significant maintenance and preservation needs all throughout our state, including our district. We have some major projects in our district, which, you know, you and I can talk about here. And in order for those projects to get funded, and I'm keeping it real, we basically need to look at some extra revenue to do that. And I'm not saying I support the extra revenue at this time, but if we do want to take that step as a community, we are going to need to get serious about how those things actually get funded.
Yeah, just look at the state of California as far as their highway infrastructure is concerned, Brad. I know I've actually been recently looking at that myself because I was planning a trip down that direction, hopefully sometime in the late spring. But one of the roads I want to take just got washed into the Pacific Ocean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have a lot of issues related to a lot of their different roads down there. And how their state does business with relation to that is going to differ from neighboring states, from every state in the union, I suppose. So are we comparing apples to oranges? Because I know one of the things that we love to do is look at the highest gas tax in the nation, for example. And that's one of the things that, you know, you'll hear a lot of times when people complain about this. And even people within both parties, when they're laboring or lobbying about different things related to taxation in the state, they'll kind of underscore that highest or one of the highest gas taxes in the nation. But are we really comparing in large ways apples to oranges because of the different funding structures by states and what those things actually go for based on the budgets there?
Not really. And that's a good point, Chris, because all states handle it a little bit differently. And one of the reasons, actually, we've needed a higher gas tax in the past, and I've never supported a gas tax proposal, but one of the arguments is we have an increased sort of popularity of fuel-efficient vehicles and battery electric vehicles and hybrids. And so what happens is we're utilizing less gas. And that's a good thing from our emissions standpoint and things. But when we utilize less gas, the state collects less revenue. So then the state looks to, oh, we need to either increase the gas tax even more, or we need to add some other components like carbon fees, license fees, and some of these other fees to offset the cost of the decrease in gas tax collections. Or there's even been talk about a per mile fee for driving, and people aren't crazy about that, but that would be fair at least to collect revenues from the battery electric vehicles that aren't fueling up with gas, but they have a fee that they pay as well. So it's just an interesting part of it. And I guess what I'm trying to put out there is if we want projects, we need to pay for the projects and we have to get the money one way or another. Now, one of the things I've supported is streamlined environmental permitting and other things that we can do to drive down the cost of the transportation projects. Because on the cost side, the costs continue to increase. And as we wait another year or three more years, the cost of all these projects, even in our valley that we care about, those costs are going to increase. And it really becomes an issue of what are the mega projects in Western Washington too? Because if I could ever get to the point where I could support one of these large scale proposals, I'm going to want to make sure that people in our district are getting a return on their investment, right? Because we're going to be paying in through higher gas taxes. What are we getting in return? One of the most important projects that I see for our district is the Confluence Parkway project. That's a $130 million project that a lot of the Coho listeners are pretty familiar with. It would create a second bridge across the Wenatchee River and an additional roadway known as Confluence Parkway, and it would connect into basically the US 2 Highway 97 interchange. And that would really help because Wenatchee is essentially landlocked. We got the geographical barrier of the Columbia River on one side. We got the mountains pushed down on the other. And as we're crossing that Wenatchee River Bridge, that's a pinch point for us. And so the second bridge, this Confluence Parkway, would not only help ease traffic congestion, which is pretty significant at certain times of the day in North Wenatchee, but it would also give an extra egress route if in case of wildfires and community if we need to get the community fleshed out of the valley or something like that. So I really see that as an important project. And there is an organization in our district, Chelan and Douglas County Transportation Council. And this transportation council is made up of our two mayors, our county commissioners, our port districts are represented, and others. And they kind of come up with the priorities of our district. And the Confluence Parkway is a priority. There's an underpass in Wenatchee that's also a priority. At the Odabashian Bridge, where the Odabashian Bridge meets up with the Douglas County portion, there is actually a whole new interchange there that's planned. It's not quite as significant as the interchange at the George Seller Bridge, but if you can think about it, as we grow as a valley, we're going to need something over there in Douglas County, because the Odabashian Bridge is going to become equally as important, or perhaps more important, as the George Seller Bridge. So we need to think about our traffic flow, think about our long-term priorities, and then also figure out a way to pay for those. And in addition to that, Chris, I would be really remiss if I didn't reemphasize the importance of maintenance and preservation of our current system. Before we build all these new things that we're all excited about, we need to maintain and preserve our current system, and we have a lot of maintenance preservation needs here in North Central Washington, but all across the state too. And all of those things cost money also.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today, and every Tuesday through the legislative sessions here with us right around 7:30 on Tuesdays as part of the Coho Morning Show. Brad, I appreciate the time. As always, stay safe and healthy. Again, happy phase 2, and we'll get a chance to chat next week. I'll look forward to it.
Sounds great, Chris. Thanks for having me.